The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of Holy Communion. And we'd also like to welcome all those who are joining us at home on the live stream and those who are listening in on the dial-up service. It's lovely to have everybody with us on this beautiful Sunday morning. And I'm also delighted today to welcome a very inspiring young woman to our service called Rebecca. And Rebecca took part in a couple of our online Alpha courses recently as a participant and later as a leader. And later in our service, Rebecca will be sharing something of her faith story with us. And I think everybody will really appreciate that. So Rebecca, you're really welcome. And Rebecca will be able to meet people after the service out on the lawn. Just also wanted to mention a few things for the week that is to come. We're especially delighted also this morning to welcome a couple who are in our midst, who were married here in the church 60 years ago today. So Hugh and Rita, you are very welcome. It's lovely to have you with us this morning. I know you've traveled from Newton Ards to be here on this special day, and we are delighted to be able to celebrate with you. And that's a wonderful achievement, 60 years today. We're also conscious that there are other people. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. We're also conscious that over the next number of months, a number of other couples are going to be getting married in the church, and we're going to be remembering them in our prayers today as well. So it seems a very fitting morning for you to be with us today. Just also wanted to mention some other very important news with regards to the St. Finian's Uganda project. Many people I know are very involved in supporting our Uganda project in different ways. And in the recent re-emergence of the third wave, I guess, really, of COVID in Uganda, the situation has been particularly desperate and particularly difficult. And so the St. Finian's Uganda project have made the decision to basically empty their bank account. They've released £5,000 to Fields of Life, and that money is being used to buy PPE for health clinics. It's being used for emergency food parcels and for supporting school communities affiliated with Fields of Life in these very difficult days. And we're going to be praying for that situation in our prayers later on also. Just a few notices for the week that is to come. On Thursday coming at 7 o'clock, we have our parish prayer meeting over Zoom. And next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, the service of morning prayer. And next Sunday evening at 7, the service of evening prayer. As we come together to break bread around the Lord's table, we're going to begin our service with a hymn of celebration and joy and thanksgiving as we stand to sing the trumpet sound the angels sing.
Thank you.
And so as we enter God's presence, we pray together. Almighty God, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our special collect prayer for today, the eighth Sunday after Trinity, a prayer in which we ask for God's help to be obedient and follow his commandments. Blessed are you, O Lord, and blessed are those who observe and keep your law. Help us to seek you with our whole heart, to delight in your commandments, and to walk in the glorious liberty given us by your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our epistle reading today is from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians in the third chapter, beginning to read at the 14th verse. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Hear the words of the Gospel of our Saviour Jesus Christ according to St. John in the 6th chapter, beginning at the first verse.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some time after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 4 miles across, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And we affirm our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the 3rd day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets.
We believe in one holy
Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now we're going to sing again as we commit our lives to God, the hymn, In My Life, Lord. If you'd like to be seated. And at this point, I'm going to invite Rebecca if she'd like to take her seat. It's a real pleasure for me this morning to be able to welcome our guest to our service, and our guest this morning is the young lady who is sitting opposite me in the prayer desk. Her name is Rebecca, and she's going to share something of her faith story with us. She recently took part in one of our online Alpha courses, and later she became a leader in a following course. So, Rebecca, you're really, really welcome to St. Finian's, and I'm going to ask you, first of all, just to start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I'm Rebecca. I'm learning human resource management at Queen's for my master's degree. I come from Inner Mongolia of China, where it's in the very north of China. I am the first Christian in my whole family. And now my mother and my aunt are Christians too. And my grandpa has made his sinners pray, and my father is on the way to become a Christian. He goes to the church every Sunday with my mom. I can see God is working in my family, and I'm so grateful for that.
That's wonderful, Rebecca. And can you tell everybody this morning, when did your faith become important to you, and how did that happen?
Mm-hmm. I lived in a county that didn't have any churches when I was a child, but I never heard of the word of Jesus or Christian, but I was always curious about the universe, and I want to figure out more about it, so I read a lot of books trying to find the answers. When I was a sophomore in high school, one day I saw my classmate, we can call him A, was writing a sentence, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." And I asked him, "Who is the Lord?" He told me that the Lord is the one who created the universe and created our human beings. And then he started to tell me some stories from the Bible, and he also told me who God was. At that moment, I found it was so interesting because what he said was exactly the answers I have been searching in the books for many years, but I didn't get the answer from book. But what he said just let me know the truth. And since then, I believe that there was a God, but at that moment, I didn't build a relationship with God. It's a long journey for me from knowing about God to know God and build a relationship with Him. I may have no time to share it now, but I really want to share with you about the testimony of my classmate A, about how he became a Christian. He loved reading so much when he was a little boy. And one day, when he tried to find some books in the storage room, he found a pile of dusty books there. Those books are from a guy who borrowed money from his father, but this guy cannot pay back the money, so the guy gave a lot of books to his father and to pay off the debts. But his father never read these books, so his father threw this book to the storage room, and my classmate A found these books, and he picked one from this book, and the name on the book is Bible. He started to read it, and he was so deeply attracted by this book. And after reading through the book, he became a Christian. And as I said, there were no any churches in my hometown at that moment, so he also didn't go to the church, but God protected his faith by himself, and after several years, A shared this gospel to me, and I became a Christian. Yeah,
that's amazing, really, the way that the book that was thrown away had a life-changing impact on your colleague A, and then subsequently he shared that faith with you. Can you tell everybody this morning a little bit about your church and what it's like to be a Christian in China? It must be quite different.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, the situation is kind of special in China because there are some restrict policies on religions in China. So as a result, there are generally like two kinds of churches in China. We call it the public church and the home church, or we can say it's undergrad church. And the public churches are governed by the government, and they are forbidden to share gospel outside of the church. And they also cannot send like missionaries outside to other cities or countries. Even the content of the preach should be monitored and audited by the government. So some Christians think the real leader of the church should be God, should be Jesus, and the pastor should listen to the Holy Spirit to preach instead of the government. So some of the Christians came out to the church and they gathered together at home, like to form kind of a home church. And year after year, more and more home churches built in all cities of China, and more people joined in these kind of home churches. But this kind of church are treated as illegal by the government, so they also face to a lot of persecution from the government. For example, the cross has been removed, the Bibles often been taken away, and people are not allowed to rent house to the home church. And even the leaders of the home churches are put into prison. And even their children may like implicated that they cannot go to the university normally. But you know what? During this, even we are in this kind of situation, but I didn't say my brothers and sisters fall down under this persecution. I saw a spiritual revival among them. When the cross is removed, we put a cross in our heart. When the Bibles are taken away, we download it through the phone and we read it together. Or we just try our best to remember all the God's words in our mind. And when we cannot rent a house to be a home church, we worship God at home together. And even our leaders may they may like put into prison because of their faith. They work for God in prison. And they said it was such a precious opportunity that they can reach out to the people maybe they cannot meet in daily life. And I want to share with you a case here. Just 2 months ago, I heard one of the pastors were caught into prison because of this, because of his faith. For 10 days, just before he prepared to propose to his girlfriend. And at the beginning, he was so worried that his girlfriend may feel scared and leave him away. But when he was in the prison, he kept worshiping God and praying to God. And then he felt like the peace from God. And the people in prison felt so unbelievable that why this guy seems so joyful in this place. So they're so curious and asked him about why he was caught into prison, something like that. And this pastor started to share gospel with people there and it told them some stories from the Bible. And just one day before he came out, two people in prison made their decision to receive Jesus as their savior. And just on the day he walked out from the police bureau, his girlfriend was waiting for him outside and asked him to marry her.
I love
that. Yeah, that's
amazing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I also, I belong to a home church in Beijing City. And to be honest, since last year, we really experienced a very tough period. But we trust God will open a way. And now we are trying to figure out a new way to do the service. We always believe that church is not the building. And where there is God, there is the church. Yeah.
So wherever God is, there is the church.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Rebecca, can I ask you, do you have a favorite passage in the Bible? And if you do, what is it and why?
Mm-hmm. My favorite one is Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Because this passage led me to God. And this passage also, this scripture also led me every day's life. No matter what happens, I know God will always be there. And the only thing I need to do is following him. He will give me everything I need in my life. Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's mm-hmm. wonderful. And Rebecca, I know that we first met you through the Alpha course that St. Finian's did online, and you took part as a participant. And then after that course was finished, I was appealing to people for leaders, and you said, I'd like to help, and I'm going to become a leader as well. Mm-hmm. And you're a fantastic leader on our Alpha course, and I wonder, was it a good experience for you to do this course, and how did it help you, and would you recommend this course to other people?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I must say it was such an amazing experience for me, both these two times Alpha course. And Alpha course is like originally purposely designed for these people who haven't believed in Jesus. So it is easy to understand, but I think it is also very beneficial for Christians. And for example, for me, I think every time, every talk, when I watch it, I learned so much more about God himself. And it also reminds me to self-reflect about my own faith and about my relationship with God. So I think it's very valuable for me to reflect myself every week. And also it's a very good opportunity to know different people from the Alpha group. And we listen to each other, we can know more stories and testimonies from each other. That really touched me a lot. And it also gives me a lot of encouragement. So yes, I will definitely recommend this course to people around me. And actually, I have downloaded the Alpha course with Chinese subtitles, and I sent it to my pastor in Beijing. And I also plan that when I go back to China, I want to start the first face-to-face Alpha course in my church. Yeah.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And you'll be a brilliant leader when you do that, I think.
Thank you.
And just coming towards the end now, can you tell people here this morning about some of the spiritual practices that help you in your daily life and the way that you build your relationship with God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Besides of the Sunday service, I also lead a Bible study online, and I have led this Bible study group for 6 years. And the people in this group are from different cities of China. Because we are all online, so we are not limited by the place. So we meet in this group and we learn Bibles together. I think it's very important to learn the Bible deeply, because when we focus on this specific scriptures, we can know a more comprehensive God. And we also can know more about God's attributes and characters. Recently, we have been starting the Minor Prophets, and I deeply felt the sin of human beings and the love of God. God used prophets to deliver the news of the fails of the nations and told people they will pay for their sins and the evil behaviors. But at the end of every book, God always said, the people who humble themselves and turn around to me, I will always be forgiving, and I will always be with you together and forever. So our God is faithful, he's holy, and so he will judge the sin of people, but he is also gracious and compassionate. So he wants us to enjoy the peace and the joy and love in him. So he loves us so much. And besides of this, in addition, I think starting a day with God's words is also very important. Every morning I spent about 30 minutes praying and reading Bible. And before I started to do anything else, I found it very useful for me, because every morning when I prayed, every morning when I read the Bible, God always can give me wisdom, courage, and peace to start a day, to face these challenges in everyday's life. So I also recommend everyone to have a try. Before you start your day, spend some time with God. You will experience amazing changes in your life. Yeah.
That's wonderful. And you've certainly had a difficult year when you came here and the whole place was locked down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to finally ask you, Rebecca, what are your hopes for the future?
Mm-hmm. I used to be a trainer in organizations before I came to Belfast. So when I go back to China, I think I will continue searching for the job and act as a trainer in organizations. That's my career. And in the workplace, because I'm the trainer, so I can meet a lot of people, young people who just graduate from universities. And I tried to integrate value from the Bible to my training materials. and I want to lead them step by step to gradually know God. And so when I go back, I just hope that God can use me in my workplace. I can be a missionary in the workplace. I don't just want to teach them with professional knowledge or skills to survival in the workplace. I also want them to know eternal life in God. I want to lead them to God. So hopefully, I hope God will use me in my workplace, in my church, in my family, even in my country. Just God use me to glory himself. Yeah, that's my hope.
That's a wonderful way to finish. Rebecca, thank you so much for coming this morning. We're so pleased to actually see you face to face. We've seen you on a screen for a long time. And I know there are a number of people in the church who've done Alpha, and they'll, but like everybody else, just feel really grateful to you for coming this morning. So can we give Rebecca a round of applause, please?
Thank you.
It's amazing to hear such a story of faith from China. So thank you so much for coming to be with us today. And I'm going to invite us all now, just as we reflect on Rebecca's words, we're going to turn to God in our prayers. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promise through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. We pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese, and for David, our bishop. Today we pray for all those places where the church faces persecution and is driven underground. And we pray in particular for our brothers and sisters in China, asking that they would know your presence and your blessing, and that your Holy Spirit would be at work, drawing many to yourself. And we ask that you would walk closely with those who are imprisoned for their faith. Lord, in your mercy. We pray this morning for the nations of the world. And today, as we think of the situation with COVID-19, we pray for Uganda, as a third wave of COVID has caused so much suffering and struggle. We pray today for all those who will be receiving PPE equipment at health centers. We pray for those who will be receiving emergency food parcels from Fields of Life. And we ask you to give wisdom to Fields of Life and to all agencies that are seeking to bring practical help and strength. And we pray too, especially for those who are on the front line in responding to that very difficult situation at the present time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And today we pray with all who are struggling with working in these very warm conditions. We think of those at the present time who are working in hospitals and nursing homes, those who are carers in the communities, and drivers, and we pray for all involved in catering. We ask that you would give people strength for their task in these warm conditions. We also want to pray at this time for Hugh and Rita, who are with us this morning as they celebrate 60 years of marriage. And we pray also for those from our church who are preparing for their marriage in the next number of months. So we pray this morning for Chris and Amy. We pray for Sarah and Gareth. And we pray for Aaron and Simon. And we ask that as they prepare for their marriage, you would be at the heart of all that they do together, and that you would bless them as they prepare. We also want to remember in our prayers this morning those who have been bereaved, as we remember especially the family and friends of Gerald Murphy, who died on Friday. And we ask for your comfort in their sad loss. And we take a quiet moment now just to bring before God those known to us who are sick at home or in hospital. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you." And we're going to stand together to sing our next hymn, "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found."
Thank you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you.
You are the bread.
At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you.
You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We give thanks, all of us, for we shall share in the one.
So as we prepare to receive Holy Communion, we just remind people, if you haven't been here for a while or if it's your first time here, that we normally receive communion in our seats and following the guidelines, the advice is that we receive just through bread. So today we invite you to receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you. Strengthen for service, Lord, the hands that holy things have taken. May the ears which have heard your word be deaf to clamor and dispute. May the tongues which have sung your praise be free from deceit. May the eyes which have seen the tokens of your love shine with the light of hope, and may the bodies which have been fed with your body be refreshed with the fullness of your life. Glory to you forever. Amen. Amen. And we pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Thank you so much to everybody for joining with us in our worship today, whether you're here in the building or whether you're at home. We're delighted to have had you with us today. Also want on all our behalf to say a big word of thanks to Rebecca for sharing her story with us, and there will be the opportunity to speak with her afterwards out on the grass, and we do just remind people to make their way out into the open space so we don't congregate too closely at the door. Our closing hymn this morning is the hymn, He Who Would Valiant Be.